I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As our former colleague, Ryan D., would like to say, it is Halloween the 8th.
All right.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Do you remember
who that is?
Yep. Halloween the 8th.
His Twitter has every day.
Halloween the 9th. Yeah.
Okay. Since the beginning of the month.
So he likes Halloween.
Apparently, one would think.
Yeah. A lot of those Halloween likers.
It's a spooky month. And there are some spooky games.
I mean, I'm personally looking forward to Thanksgiving. But
some turkey games.
Yep.
Wait, what are you looking forward to Thanksgiving for?
Food and food, and then
Battlefield's
coma,
the 19th.
Then a coma.
Battlefield's the 19th.
All right, 19th.
So food, Battlefield coma. Battlefield food coma.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe that.
Or food coma Battlefield.
Yeah, well, something.
Because food first.
Yeah.
Then you'll get into a coma. You won't.
Or maybe there'll be two comas in there. You never know.
It depends. If you coma early enough, you can always go round two.
Oh yeah. That's down the road though. There are things that are more pressing. Things that you could do right now. In the moment. Maybe you could play a new game. Or an old game. Or you could do nothing.
Or listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. We did skip the intro.
I think we did it last week, too.
Oh, fuck. We suck. I loop you in there with me? This is the Gamers 2 Podcast, a weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest.
I mean, to be fair, I'm supposed to keep you in track. I'm untrackable. I'm like a stealth podcaster. JD hit a three-run home run. That's good.
Oh, my God. This isn't looking good for the Rays. This game, at least.
Yeah, for now. It'll be over. The Rays will come back, put up six runs, and we'll all be wondering again. Anyway, playoff baseball is also happening. But, hey, yeah, as Matt said, you can buy some new games.
Yeah, do that.
Games such as Alan Wake Remastered for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox. You played Alan Wake, right?
No,
you didn't.
Did not.
Thought you did. I played Alan Wake. Fun time.
I played the original Prey. Is that relevant?
No.
Didn't they come out around the same time? It's Alan Wake and Prey. Aren't they the same studio?
Control.
Prey Alan 2, Wake, though.
No. Prey 2 is still Arcane, I'm pretty sure.
The first Prey.
Arcane.
Is it? The very first one?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Control's done by the same as Alan Wake, which is Remedy. I'm pretty sure. Unless it was like a Lost Planet or something.
I don't know.
All
right. Alan Wake's one of those games where I saw it and I was like, what is this?
I played it. What is it?
Okay. All right. My original assessment is valid.
I enjoyed it. It was an interesting horror style game. Different combat. You know, you got to shine a light on a monster in order to shoot it type of thing.
Yeah. Sounds like, exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. Number two, BPM bullets per minute for the PlayStation and Xbox. Number three, Hell Let Loose for the PlayStation and Xbox. Number four, Jet, The Far Shore for the PC, PlayStations. Number five, Rainbow Billy, The Curse of the Leviathan for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number six, Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number seven already, apparently, Wasteland 3, Cult of the Holy Detonation DLC for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Oh, every time I see Wasteland stuff, I wish Kenny and I had finished playing it, but it would have taken us so long. Such a good game. Number eight, Art of Rally for the PlayStation. Matt has seen me play that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm to the point where I could potentially say whatever, and he's going to agree with me.
I'm listening.
I know. I'm just trying to think if you actually remember what game that is.
It's the well, fucking, the yeah, it's the one with the stick figure people running around in the corners and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I know what you mean. Yeah. Isometric 2D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like the weird fucking like.
A lot of drifting.
Yeah. Fluid motion stick figures who like run around when you go to come near the corners.
Yeah. Who scatter wildly whenever I come near corners because I'm going to kill them all.
Yeah. But then you can like just go right through them and they don't seem to care.
Yeah. Number nine, Age of Darkness, Final Stand for the PC. Number 10, Far Cry 6. For everything, including Stadia, and not the Switch.
Got to hedge those bets. Put the game on Stadia.
Number 11, and Luna technically, but I don't know why that's not listed. Number 11, The Lightbringer for the PC and Switch. Number 12, Moonglow Bay for the PC and Xboxes. Number 13, New Warzone Season. So they already made back the $18 million that they got sued for. That's easy.
Oh, there's going to be something on that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Number 14, Knockout Home Fitness for the Switch. There's a lot of jokes there.
I don't have any.
No comment. Number 15, Lego Marvel Superheroes for the Switch. Number 16,
The best Marvel game.
Lego Marvel Superheroes?
Yeah.
The best Lego Marvel game? Or the best Lego game? Which one do you want to stand on your statement?
Best Marvel game.
Oh, Marvel game. Okay.
Shots fired. Shots fired. Pew pew.
I think I agree with you.
No, you don't. Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I was going back even older. Okay. Spider-Man's easily the best Marvel game, but then I was going back to like Ultimate Alliance and stuff.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But that's like before anybody would acknowledge Marvel, you know?
Yeah.
Number 17, Nintendo Switch. The OLED model. So if you wanted to buy a whole new console. There it is. Number 16, I forgot it. Metroid Dread is back from the dead. And officially released on Nintendo Switch. And number 18, Tetris Effect Connected goes to the Switch.
Yay. For Tetris, I don't know.
Woo.
I don't know. We're getting into that season. Games are coming out.
Yeah, who'd have thought? You can't delay them forever. Game companies.
They're trying, though. They're trying. Far Cry 6.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that in this 3-day weekend.
Hell Let Loose came out. Also, it came out on PlayStation Plus. It's the free game.
Oh, what are those? Double drop.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, that probably is a little
boost
telling.
Those rookie numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's telling, but so did Rocket League. So, like, I mean, you know, hey.
That's a good point.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad sign.
Wow, that guy's got a mean mug.
Who?
Whoever this Boston pitcher is.
Oh, Tanner Houck?
Yeah.
Houck?
Houck sounds right. I don't know if it's true.
He also throws, I can't remember if it's him or if it's another one of their pitchers. There's one of their pitchers I really love how he throws. Because he's very, it's not like calm. It's everything's fine. The moment he starts, Randy with his boots. he separates the ball and the glove, and his arm goes obviously behind him. And all of that's kind of slow relative. And then the moment he starts to bring his arm back forward, everything hits like a 300% speed increase, and it's just, yeah! You're like, oh, okay. I don't think it's him, but it's somebody on that team, and I'm like, I kind of love that.
Interesting. Hey, how you feeling about numbers?
I feel like evens.
Even Steven. I'm going to go number one, you know, since I had a choice. According to a Wall Street Journal analysis, Apple is generating more revenue from video games than the three console platform holders. The article cites Sensor Tower's estimate that Apple received $15.9 billion from the App Store during the company's fiscal 2019. Based on Apple's operating margin calculations, which were revealed during the Epic versus Apple trial earlier this year, the operating profit for the App Store was $12.3 billion that year. Not that any of this matters, but the Wall Street Journal's analysis claims that Apple would have earned $8.5 billion from gaming, which it reports is $2 billion more than the operating profit generated during the same period by Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, and Activision.
Huh.
Doesn't that just, like, disgust you on some level?
Oh, well, anytime we start discussing some people's finances, I hurt inside.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of finances, I would rather, yeah. Actually, do we cover it at all?
Which one?
A while. Okay. Twitch.
Oh, yeah. Didn't go into depth on it, though, but we can chit-chat.
We don't have to go into too depth on it, but yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money, though.
That is a lot of money for Apple.
$15.9 billion.
For, like, an Apple video games-related thing. Not Apple, but in general, because, you know, they have money coming out of every orifice of their metaphoric body.
So, hold on, let me just skim back through this before I say what I want to say. Okay, so $15.9 billion,
yes,
that they make from gaming.
Yes, or was it just gaming, or was it...
According to Apple, it's generating more revenue from video games than the three console platform holders.
$8.5 billion from gaming. App Store total was... 12.3, the 15.9 the 15.9 is from the App Store total. The 12.3 was its operating profit, so its net profit. And then 8.5 was just gaming from the App Store.
Okay. So,
yes.
I want another breakdown.
Okay.
What's the percent of that 8.5?
60. Go ahead.
Do you know what I'm going to ask?
I don't know, but there is a percentage I do know.
Okay. I either want the percent or raw number.
Okay.
Of the amount of that 8.5 billion that is from Apple made games. Thank you.
It's zero for the people who aren't watching this, which no one's watching this because we don't record it.
Hey, man, remember those New Year's resolutions for the last 3 years?
Suck it. It's zero. So 0% is yeah. They don't.
I would say either Apple made or Apple published.
Yeah, I think it's zero. I don't think
because
they
I think they
one.
Published like remember that hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the name of it was. That was coming to Apple Arcade. I think technically they published it.
Uh-huh.
But. That's the other thing. They're making $8.5 billion on all of not their stuff.
Yeah. What's crazy to me was...
just think about that for a second. Take a good pause. Think about how much money that is. How much money companies get fined. And that's Apple passively making that money.
Yep. I mean, I would expect that to go drastically down after the recent ruling because, like...
Yes, and I'd say yes and no. I don't know about drastically. It will go down, I think so. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a bunch of those companies that are just like, eh, we don't really care. It'd be more of a hassle for us to run a payment thing than Apple just cut us a check.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody as big as, obviously, Epic or, like, Blizzard's Hearthstone and all that stuff on there, or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it'll get cut in half, but that's just my, like, random-ass opinion.
I think half would be amazing to see, but I don't know if it would. I'm probably more like a quarter.
Okay.
I'd love for you to be right. Because then it means they stuck it to the man. And they took...
Those corporate men stuck it to the other men.
Right. And they took the means of their own production back into their hands.
When corporations fight, we all win.
I think. Depends on the corporation.
We all lose.
Somebody loses.
Slightly less?
Yeah. I lose slightly less? Do I gain anything? No. Yeah. Just interesting, though. Let's put it this way. I would love to have a thing that I passively made $8 billion a year from.
Yeah, it's kind of... When you think about it sometimes, it's one of those things when you let it just kind of like simmer and you think about it for a second, you're just like, they are maintaining... Like, they're providing maintenance and like a service that's like passive. And they are making...
That's very passive, because even if there was like a bug on one of their apps, they would just have to go in and click a disable button and then tell the person that made it, you need to fix this.
Yeah.
And then I'll re-enable you. And it's like...
And they're making, it, like games included, $12.3 billion in just like net. Pure profit, $12.3 billion.
Yep. Meanwhile, we'll find them $18 million.
Billion.
So here's the fun part. This is the other last number thing about this.
Yeah.
So they made $8.5 billion. The $12.5 billion obviously is a good number as well. It's more. That's how numbers work. What was the settlement from Epic?
Blizzard?
No, from Epic.
Was it like 6 million or something like that?
It was like 9.
Yeah,
whatever it was.
It was insignificant.
Yeah, so it was between 6 to 12 million. And they were like, oh, we suffered massive damages. They made 8.9 billion before that conversation started.
Yep. What always blows my mind is like the amount of liquid cash Apple keeps on hand. Like most companies, they don't have a lot of like cash.
Yeah, like it's
hard cash.
Value, but it's in things.
Yeah. Apple keeps, and this is not an exaggeration, I can actually give you the exact number because I just looked it up to be sure, but a very, very easy number to say and is extremely close. They have $195.8 billion in cash.
You know, for that fuck around and find out money.
Yes.
Oh, hey, David Robertson, former Yankee.
Went to the Rays. The Rays probably fixed him.
Went to the Rays after a few other stops, but yeah.
Okay. All right, we spent too much time on Apple.
Number two. Xbox has announced the addition of Apple. No. Xbox has announced the addition of accessibility tags to the Microsoft Store. The new feature is already available to members of the Xbox Accessibility Insiders League, who will provide feedback before tags are made available to everyone in the coming months. Tags will show the level of accessibility of a game so players know what's included prior to purchasing the title. Tags will include features such as narrated game menus, subtitle options, input remapping, full keyboard support, and single stick gameplay, among others. There will be a total of 20 tags available. There will be certain criteria for developers to meet before they are allowed to have these tags included. For instance, subtitles will need to be a specific font size and have the option to be resized by up to 200%. Good forward move. I mean,
yep. Cool beans. Nothing like.
I'm hoping the tags are actually. Because sometimes tags can be very broad.
Mm-hmm.
And while they are putting in 20 of them, I do hope they're detailed enough. So you could just look at it and go, okay, that does have the feature I'm looking for.
Yeah. Like, it'd be nice if they did something to set it apart to like make them like a fucking different color that's the only thing that has that.
Yeah, either that or that, do these and show me the, like on some of the ones where it might be you need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Show me, like, because you know how they do the preview screenshots. Show me one of the screenshots with like one of them fully enabled. So I would just have an idea that you're like, okay, this is what that one is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see when it says your subtitle text goes up 200%. You can just tell me that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes with things that are color-based, you're like, okay, I need to actually see if those colors are different enough or shadings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sound. The adaptive controller. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that'll probably be one like adaptive controller compatible or something.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Which is probably under the input remapping one.
Yeah. Or like the single stick. Like they have a single stick thing. Sure. So definitely probably have an adaptive controller thing.
I just don't want to see 8 tags for controller, like different controllers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Number 3. Konami recently announced the Action and Shooting Game Contest, an indie developer competition that allows creators to make games based on Konami's IP. As reported by IGN, contestants have an opportunity to win a grand prize of $18,000. If the publisher wishes to commercialize a game submitted in the competition, it will invest up to $271,000 in its development. In addition to the funding, Konami will provide supervision, mentorship, localization, and promotional support. Konami gave contestants a list of 80 games to base their new projects on, none of which I recognized.
I was waiting for it to be like Metal Gear, and you're going to just be like, everybody's about to try to make a Metal Gear game. Yeah.
It's just a bunch of obscure games that...
Probably all their old ones that have just been existing. They're like, we're wondering if any of these are even worth bringing back. Let's make the community figure it out. I don't want to pay my guys to do it.
Yep. Which I'm okay with. Because, like, I guess I'm assuming when they, based on the funds that they're providing and stuff, like, they're talking indie, as in, like, someone, like, a single guy or, like,
yeah,
or
when gal. When they're saying that we're going to spend $270,000 to fund it.
Yeah.
Then you're talking, like, one person team.
Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 at most, like.
Yeah, that's like 3 or 4 at most with the idea that you guys have a year to get it out.
Yeah. So. Interesting stuff.
Number 4, as most of you are probably aware, Facebook had a little bit of an outage this week. Some say a little, some say a lot.
Some say not enough.
You damn right they do. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all, by the way, Facebook properties. Their back-end services and tools were down for about 6 hours. As told to me multiple times on Twitter and Reddit.
Yes.
Let's talk about how it affected games. The most obvious example is the Facebook-owned Oculus, which has required new users to have Facebook accounts since 2020. Specifically, October of 2020. Oculus confirmed via Twitter that, quote, some people, quote, what do you mean some people, were having trouble accessing apps and using their headsets during the outage. Although this was identical to the general Facebook statement. So no shit.
Yeah. So when they said some people, that meant everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Some people, a.k.a. 98% of our ecosystem.
Yeah.
Maybe 2% that were devs.
Yeah.
Which don't need them at that point. Games companies that allow users to log in with their Facebook accounts rather than registering one specific to the game were also affected because, obviously.
Yes.
Both Electronic Arts and Niantic acknowledged the issues experienced in FIFA Mobile and Pokemon Go. Facebook said the outage was due to issues caused by, quote, configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers, end quote.
You know what that tells me? Someone got fired.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Couple things. So let's go with the... I'm also curious because that when that happens, that also kills Facebook Gaming.
Yep.
Which means entire creators lost their a day's worth of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that obviously goes on Facebook. But,
yep.
Instagram, all your Instagram influencers lost a day worth of revenue.
What was it? $8 billion, I think, is what Zuck lost from the outage.
Still not enough.
I agree.
But, I mean, hey, that's, you know, what Apple made in gaming.
I know. Let's keep stacking those numbers up. Just, like, how ridiculous.
I think the worst one is WhatsApp going out. Because while we as a country don't use WhatsApp that much, I think, it is, like, I think somebody had a chart that it's, like, the predominant and or only messaging app around, like, the remaining 80% of the world.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, now that that's gone, a modern technology that was making it easier for a bunch of other countries to all communicate is now just dead.
I love that. I loved like how just all encompassing the outage was too. They didn't have access to any of their back end tools. They couldn't even get in the fucking building. Their key cards weren't working.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we just break into our own building to fix this?
Yeah, so yeah, fantastic. Fuck it.
Just break the door.
I think we can afford a new one.
We've already lost $2 billion. What's a door? Zuck standing outside with a hammer. I hate this place anyway. I was excited, though.
Yeah, I was pretty thrilled. And actually, like...
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it was.
For like, me, who has no skin in the game at all.
Yep.
Except to hope that it died.
Yep. I almost like this is like kind of cruel, but I was like low key hoping for a hack because I was like, oh, I'd love some juicy Facebook stuff. Like,
well, speaking of juicy Facebook stuff,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure you've been around the block this week.
Are we talking about Twitter? No. Our Twitch?
No.
Oh, what? Facebook. No. What's going on Facebook?
The giant leaker that was all testifying on Congress and was on 60 Minutes on Sunday because this happened the day after.
Yeah. Yep.
So everybody was like, let me put my tinfoil hat on real quick. And, ooh, she set some things off. I was like, she didn't set shit off.
No.
But it was all good coincidence at the same time.
Yeah. And like, it was interesting, but it wasn't juicy enough.
It was
evil shit. Like
the fun part is when you and I say juicy, like, the story she had, the leaker, that is, was juicy for Congress and juicy for news sites, and I put news sites in air quotes, with anybody that has half of a brain, or, what did Tucker Carlson call those people? Anyone who has any common sense or decency wouldn't believe me, is I think the quote he used, so anybody that has any half a brain, some common sense or whatever, everything that person said as a leak is like, yeah, obviously that's been happening for years, but nobody bothered to say anything. And Congress gets to have the moment of like, what do you mean it's been happening? Like
you don't know.
Tell me you don't know. Tell me you haven't made money off of a bunch of that. Come on.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
It's why it's always just so funny.
Bolshevik.
Been here saying it for years.
I'm up next, aren't I? Number five.
Years. Is that what we're on? Yeah.
Number five. Universal Studios Japan has teamed up with the Pokemon Company to work on a new addition to the company's theme parks. The Osaka-based park is set to gain some kind of Pokemon-themed attractions, similar to the existing Super Nintendo World. Multiple projects are already underway that will create, quote, innovative Pokemon entertainment, end quote, for fans and guests. The first of these projects is scheduled to appear in the park by the end of 2022. So I guess the moral of the story is, if you're a huge Nintendo fan or a huge Pokemon fan, take a trip to Japan.
I would love to.
Yeah.
But
I'd like to see a Gundam. Gundam.
But you want to see it when it's attacking a city.
I mean, sure.
I'm not saying no.
I want to see some G Gundam action. Everyone just go watch G Gundam. It's priceless.
You know what that is?
Oh my god, I'm going to show you fucking... Google Tequila Gundam.
Tequila Gundam?
Tequila Gundam. Yes.
Or
Mummy Gundam. So the premise is... The world's basically destroyed itself. There's colonies in space, but they're all like Neo-America, Neo-Japan, Neo-Germany. They're all like colonies of the countries that were on Earth. And they each send a Gundam to Earth every like certain amount of years for the Gundams to battle each other for control over all the other colonies. So whichever country ends up standing at the end and wins the tournament becomes like the ruler for like the next like 4 years or something like that. But each Gundam, this is old anime, so each Gundam is like a super like racist cliche of like that country.
Oh, geez.
Like a super trope, like the Mexican Gundams, Tequila Gundam.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's so like it's so good.
I like the concept. Just like, yeah, screw it. Gundams to figure out who's the supreme leader.
Dude, the American Gundam has pistols, first off.
Like
but,
Wild Wild West style dual pistols?
Yep.
Revolvers?
But also, he looks like a football player, but then the pads in air quotes on his shoulders come off and go on his hands, and then he looks like a boxer.
Oh, interesting.
Anyways. That little side note there went off.
Number six, Randy Pitchford is stepping away from his duties at Gearbox Studio to concentrate on other parts of the company. He hands the role of president for the Borderlands developer to Steve Jones, who leaves his previous role as chief technology officer. Jones has worked at Gearbox for 22 years and was technical director on the first two Borderlands games. Randy Pitchford will be focusing on his duties as CEO and president of Gearbox Entertainment. He also becomes president of Gearbox Studios, a newly formed division that will handle the company's efforts in the TV and film space, a la the new upcoming movie.
Bingo, bango,
bongo,
bongo.
I don't want to leave the Congo.
That's fair.
Oh, no.
That's fair. That's fair. You know what I forgot?
Fallout 4 Radio and how good it was?
No, never forget that. I forgot that Embracer Group owns Gearbox.
Yes. Speaking of Embracer Group, remember their new like European rival, Kepler, or something like that?
I don't, but...
We talked about it at one point.
Okay.
They got a... There was like Kepler or Kipler or Kim... Not
it
Kim,
sounds...
Not,
some,
not
yeah.
Kimler.
Sounds familiar.
That's too close to something else. Got a giant influx of money from NetEase.
Okay.
It's like, oh, China.
Yeah. There's... Let it go, man. Let it go. Okay. China. You can't play games, but we can make everyone else in the world pay for games and take their money. Number seven. Electronic Arts has hinted at a potential rebranding of its iconic FIFA series. In a recent press release discussing the launch of FIFA 22, the company said it is, quote, exploring the idea of renaming our global EA Sports football games, end quote. The publisher also said it is reviewing its naming rights agreements with FIFA, which is separate from its other football-adjacent partnerships and licensing used in the games. You got a hot take on this? You got any feelings either way?
I don't know what they would name it to, so that's why I'm like, what do you want to name it? Soccer? Just piss off Europe? Like, what are you trying to rename it to? You know what I mean?
I think they're just trying to get away from FIFA, and they'll keep their, like, licensing agreements with the teams and stuff.
Yeah, but they're going to... You'd still name the game something.
I don't know. Fucking Worldwide Football or some
the
generic
WWF.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You couldn't go for that either. the fucking
pandas are gonna come at you.
The panda entities are gonna come after you.
like that we both immediately just associate the World Wildlife Federation with fucking pandas.
Classic. Yeah, I don't know. EA kills me. I have a hard time, like, not
EA Sports,
not looking at every press release they do and everything they do, period, as, like,
just spitting on it.
Just shit. Like, they are fishing for reactions from the public on this so that they can gauge whether, like, they can break away from FIFA and not have to pay someone some money.
It's almost like you could have Weekend of Bernie's meme. Hey, look at this guy. He doesn't want to be called FIFA anymore.
Yeah.
See, nobody cares. Number 8. Developer Eidos Montreal. It's just Eidos, isn't it? Has announced that its Montreal studio and Sherbrooke Studios have developed... Eidos announced that its Montreal and Sherbrooke studios have implemented a 4-day work week. The company said that the change is part of its aim to improve work-life balance towards, quote, the embodiment of the studio's values, building a healthy, creative, and sustainable work environment for our employees, end quote.
The Rays gonna raise.
Told you. They gonna raise. I like it. I like a 4-day work week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious on the 4-day work week thing. I missed out on it because I started my new job too late, but they did a 4-day work week last summer because it worked out with COVID, where they were like, you know, COVID's happening, we're slowing down, so we're gonna pay you guys for the full week, but we're only gonna have you work 4 days. And we'll like, you know, do some schedule flip-flopping.
Right.
And, like, I'm genuinely curious how that is. Because, like, I think that there would be a little bit of a weird, like, a transitional period. But I think overall you would get 4 harder working, like, 4 days of workers working harder than... You know, it'd be roughly a net gain, or it'd be a wash, I think.
I think you'd be minimal net gain, mostly.
Yeah, like a minimal net gain, or it would have no effect. So, like, it would be a positive for...
Yeah, no effect is still technically a positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Because more than anything...
Oh my God, we're on the same page about something, guys. Fucking nuts.
You better pull all your money out of the bank right now. Things are going to go crazy. Yeah, it's so my favorite part of COVID was the split that I was doing at one point where I was three days in, 2 days out,
because
I was like, it was nice to be able to just be home for some days, but then still have the breakup of, yeah, I can go into the office.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I mean, there's positives to that, too, because like you can get more work done at home, certain types of work.
Yeah.
You can get more of it done at home than you would be able to at, like, you know, on site.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I just want to be able to just kind of relax and not be, you know, on.
Mm-hmm.
And not that my work isn't stressful or anything, but it's just like, yeah, it was a nice thing to, and I'm not in a position where I'm in like a bunch of Zoom calls and meetings constantly, so I'm doing the old, hey, I got my sweatpants on, but I'm wearing a dress shirt. Like, I'm not doing anything like that where my cameras are on or anything. So it's just like, yeah, I just wake up and do my stuff. I don't need to like be there, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, if I need to be there, I go in and I'm there.
Yeah,
but having the option was just so nice.
Yeah,
because it also allows for, you know, it saves you money, me specifically, at least.
Yep.
I don't have to commute at that point, so that saves me gas. I wouldn't have to, you know, everything at that point. Now I'm lunch at home, I'm whatever. If I had a delivery or something where I needed to, like, run out quick and do something that was quick, like, local, like, oh, I got to take care of some mail or whatever, it's just easier because I'm here. And it's like, oh, it's 5 minutes, whatever. Yeah.
Yep, yep. On board with that stuff. Now into some juicy news-ish.
Juicy.
Not really juicy, just
never mind.
Interesting. The California Department of Fair Employment and Housing is objecting to a proposed settlement between Activision Blizzard and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, according to Axios' Stephen Totillo. Totillo posted scans of the DFEH filing in the Activision Blizzard EEOC court case. I fucking love this. That raised objections to the Paris Agreement. The Department of Fair Employment and Housing says the settlement would involve employees releasing Activision Blizzard from claims under California state law, even though the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has no standing to prosecute those violations. And also said the deal's design would undermine its own lawsuit against the publisher, which it filed in July. I am about this shit. They're like, don't let these motherfuckers off the hook.
This is what we said.
Yes.
We literally said California has to be pissed.
Yes.
And take a guess. California's pissed.
Yeah. Like, nah-uh-uh. Nah-uh. $18 million pocket change to the motherfuckers.
You trying to help them? Huh? Trying to help them? You know, I'm going to come after you, too. You know, you're both in my sense. Both of you. I don't know what I'm coming at you for yet, but I'm not happy with you.
They did basically call them out on their shit, though. They said, you you don't have the power to do this.
You know, stop. No. No. I say who gets the cookies. Not you. And they're my cookies, motherfucker. My cookies.
I can relate to that. Don't fucking touch my cookies.
I will end you if you so much as look at another one of my cookies.
Blizzard, Activision, just be better. Please. Own up.
Please.
Own up. Pay out. Be better.
Number 10. Microsoft has agreed to extend its right to repair options following pressure from shareholders. In a response to a shareholder resolution, Microsoft has pledged to increase consumer options for repairs by the end of 2022. They have agreed to complete a third-party study evaluating the environmental and social impacts associated with increasing consumer access to repair and determine new mechanisms to increase access to repair, including for Surface devices and Xbox consoles, like allowing multiple USB ports.
Whoa.
Whoa, hey. Expand the availability of certain parts and repair documentation beyond Microsoft's authorized service provider network. And initiate new mechanisms to enable and facilitate local repair options for consumers. I'm all for right to repair. I do want these companies to be, you know, hey, you have the right to repair. At the same time, you can't sue us or complain when you do it wrong.
Yeah.
Which is why they took away the whole right to repair.
Yeah.
Because people were being stupid.
Yep. I mean, that's part of it. I think part of it, too, the documentation part I'm interested in. Well, because, like,
the other part of it where they want money.
Yeah. Especially if, like, they, like, that's kind of the stuff that irritates me more than anything else. And, like, Apple's big on this. On top of all the other terrible shit they do, the one thing that kills me about them is, like, they have these, like, they usually have things that are, like, traps essentially that you don't know about because they don't tell you that, like, you know, you try to repair something and they're like, you gotta do this weird fucking half-ass thing where you spin three times to the left, touch your nose, and then stick your finger up your butt, and then, you know, you're good.
I see you too have also fixed an iPad before.
It's just annoying, like, the documentation. Like, if they provided, I think that should be a big part of the right to repair. Maybe it is. I haven't really followed that closely to where, like, they can't, like, withhold, like, too much of the, like, repair thing, documentation that's, or procedures that are crucial to repair. Like, obviously, it's proprietary and patented and, like, you're trying to protect your intellectual property, whatever, but.
Yeah, I don't need, like, entire inner workings. It's more like, hey.
I don't need your fucking schematics for your shit. I just need, like, you know, how do you dissemble this, you know, whatever. Whatever.
And even then, now a lot of the Apple stuff, they're making it so you literally couldn't replace it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, no, everything's just soldered on. So yeah.
The serial number part is really like, that's such a... Whew. Motherfuckers. Anyways. Number 11. Streaming website Twitch has been attacked by an anonymous hacker. The hacker shared a 125 gig torrent link to 4chan on Wednesday, as reported by VGC. The purpose of the leak was to, quote, foster more disruptive and competition in the online video streaming space. Disruption, actually, was the word that I should have said. Foster more disruption and competition in the online video streaming space, as their community is a disgusting, toxic cesspool, end quote. An anonymous company source told VGC that the leak is legitimate and that Twitch is aware of the security breach. Data includes the site's source code and details on creator payouts were leaked, as well as information on the company's mobile, desktop, and console clients. Information related to Twitch's other properties were also shared, including IGDB and CurseForge, and an unreleased Steam competitor that Amazon is reportedly making known as Vapor. Real fucking original, guys.
We've known about Vapor before, though.
Yeah.
Vapor. That's been hinted for years.
Yeah, it pops up.
There was literally a thing, I think it was a few years ago, we talked about called Codename Vapor, and you're like, ha ha ha. Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what they're doing with the Codename Vapor. Steam, obviously.
Any juicy stuff you wanted to talk about as far as what was leaked?
Nothing too juicy. I didn't dig through the torrent file.
I think it's like, I don't like, I'm not judging what people are making.
No, I'm all for what
people are making. I found it really fascinating.
I found it extremely fascinating.
Like, I would not have expected Bruce to make as much, but like, once you like think about it, like,
he has
a very loyal fan base.
He has whales.
And they subscribe like crazy.
Yeah, like, I mean,
gift subscriptions.
He might only have 600 people watching, but the people in there will drop $3,000 in subscriptions and not think twice.
Yeah. Whereas, like, some people who I would think would make bank, you know, weren't, as far as subscriptions go.
Yeah.
Or so bits or whatever.
The big chart that's out there is the top 100 earners on Twitch, determined by Twitch payouts to them from August of 2019 until now. And that Twitch payments include subs, bits, and that's it.
Do they don't include like any contract stuff with Twitch?
Not in that part, I don't think, because I'm almost positive Shroud's contract is more than what he made.
Yeah. He was one of the people where I was like, that's not as much as I would have thought.
The same with Ninja. I'm pretty sure both are contracts. Mm-hmm. Like, they have exclusivity contracts. So I think it's just the payment in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce was at $1.3 million over that time span, so roughly 2 years. Or like 2 years and 2 months. Yeah, roughly. And same with Ray. And it's like, hell yeah, guys. Go get it. Good for you.
Just double played him.
Oh, yeah, no. Hell yeah.
So funny. Anyways.
But yeah, it's just, you know, $1.3 million in 2 years. You're like, oh, yeah, I can see why you left.
Mm-hmm.
Go make bank, obviously. Yeah. It's not a... It is funny because you see, I think Bruce averages like 600 to 800 people or something like that.
The other interesting
makes that much money, but then Ray will be around 3,000 people. Depends on what he's playing sometimes. But it was also funny because there's a bunch of people that were like reacting like, holy shit, I can't believe it. And it's like, also at the same time, there's a lot of those streamers that just have their sub count on their screen. And even if you did rudimentary math where you multiplied that number by 5 and then took the half of it, you'd go, okay, I kind of have a rough idea if I do some quick math.
Mm-hmm. You got to remind me after this, something I want to tell you about.
Okay.
No, and part of it too is like, I think it's kind of fascinating, and I'm wondering if someone did like some sort of like psychological or someone did some studies. Like, that is a good chunk of money. Like, it's not anything insane. But, like, a lot of these streamers, you wouldn't like, you wouldn't, if you were watching them or like watching them interact with people, you wouldn't think that they were like, you know, they're not, they don't flaunt it. They're not like, they all seem relatively humble and like down to earth people.
So here's what I propose to you.
Okay.
The
nature of
the modern millionaire.
Yeah.
Where they've been around the nothing level. And yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, you still have your TikTokers that are going to go buy Lambos for absolutely no reason and then trash them and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those guys, I mean, specifically, especially in the Bruce and Ray scenario,
mm-hmm.
the two that I know the most, they're like, yeah, they're just two guys being dudes. Yeah. You know? Two dudes being guys. Hey, you know, we just do the thing. I stream the games. I do the thing. And it's like, yeah, obviously. And they're more than deserving of the money. They do great. I mean, Ray's murdered it. He has a whole company of merch that's great merch. Bruce is doing the same thing, building up their own brands. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I've subbed to them before from just like whatever. I just find it funny that some people were like offended. Not that they were making that much money, but when you think about it, this doesn't include all the donations. Like, those guys are millionaires and still getting donated money.
Yeah.
Or like, quote,
and then tipped like
money constantly.
In Ray's case, and Bruce is doing merch now too.
Yeah, I think he did merch even from when he started.
Like, that doesn't, like,
he does, I think it's just merch through like the typical outlets, mm-hmm. of like he's partnered with somebody for, yeah. some designs.
We'll but use,
like,
Ray as an example.
Yeah, Ray owns a whole merch company.
Yeah, Ray has been very successful with his merch, and like that doesn't include that either. So like, these are some pretty successful people.
Yeah, a full merch company, a full whatever random other, you know, payments they're getting from anybody that does a sponsored stream or anything like that. Regular donations / tips / if you're Shroud exclusivity contracts, or, you know, they're still hustling, even making that money, and they're still killing it.
Yeah.
And it's not fair if I don't do it, but frameratemerch.com is the name of Ray's site. That is frameratemerch.com. I have a tank top, a hoodie, and two hats.
Tank top tiger.
It is not a tiger. It says bad at video games on it.
Tank top master. It's a One Punch Man reference there.
I didn't watch season 2.
It's all right. Season 2 was not as good as season 1.
We watched season 1 together.
We did.
It was a lovely time.
A lot of tropes. Good time. I like One Punch Man.
One Punch.
Exactly. Good intro.
It is a good intro. It's a very good intro. Because it's very similar to a Trogdor intro.
Yeah.
Are we ready for number 12? We are. Ubisoft. I be hard. Jokes. I'm 12 again. Like the number of the story, Ubisoft has announced the next Ghost Recon game, Ghost Recon Frontline. It's a free-to-play, PvP-focused, first-person shooter with support for 100-plus players. Now stop me if you've heard this before, and I'll stop right now. Frontline will feature multiple game modes, but Ubisoft is specifically highlighting one called Expedition that will feature 100-plus players fighting as teams of three. Never been done before.
God.
Players will need to work together to complete dynamic objectives on a massive open-world map set on an island called Drakemore, which is home to a variety of biomes. Ooh, do we drop in? In Expedition, players are tasked with gathering and protecting intel, then surviving long enough to be extracted. Players will be able to reshape the battlefield, calling in vehicles, auto turrets, and dynamic cover, including on-demand sniper towers via airdrops. Frontline will offer a variety of player classes, known as contractors. Ubisoft hinted at three contractor types that will be available at launch. Assault, which offers great assault.
I mean, you're not wrong.
That's really all it needs to say. Which offers great sustainability in close range fights. Support, which offers, oh, you guessed it, support. protection with fortification abilities and scout, which can
scout
ahead. Recon areas to reveal and harass enemies. Ubisoft said that other quicker modes are coming to Ghost Recon Frontline, as are additional contractors, as part of a planned ongoing seasonal update model. Man, you guys heard of battle passes? For the free-to-play game. Ghost Recon Frontline does not have an announced release date, but players in Europe will be able to test out the game on Windows PC starting later this week, October 14th. Ghost Recon Frontline is coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Windows PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and streaming platforms Amazon Luna and Google Stadia. Terms and restrictions, conditions may apply. Please see your store for details.
Another one. Another yeah, one. Yeah. Add it to their list.
And another one. So we talked about this downstairs. Yep. And I do want to rehash it somewhat for the people at home.
Okay.
I'm going to argue, and I'm not going to argue, actually. Matt and I agree on this. I'm going to complain about one thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to let him complain about the other thing.
Okay.
The thing I'm going to complain about is I am sick and tired. You know what really grinds my gears, Matt? It's rain sideways. Really grinds my gears is when you have a trailer announcement or any type of production level announcement thing or something where you have also somebody reading off a prompter, which is fine. The prompter's fine. I don't mind people using a prompter. You almost should, so you have a script to follow and not stumble over what you're about to say.
Mm-hmm.
But quit putting the prompter in very weird spots. If you watch the announcement video for this, the person announcing it is clearly staring down and to the left directly into the prompter, so they are reading it. Again, that's fine because I'm pretty sure he's never read a prompter before to know to read himself ahead and then, you know, kind of only do the eye dart down to get where he needs to and go back to talking to like a public speaking. So he's making sure he hits all his notes. But that's fine if you adjust the camera for it. Just move the prompter next to the camera so at least he's looking at you. Then, maybe, and this is another, I'd have to actually like load that up into Adobe or something to get a grid. I am very positive, though, that he is to the right of the center line, that the shot is not centered on him, and that is infuriating to me. I noticed it just right away. You're looking over here and you're standing over there. Why are you even in the shot? Go stand over there.
The way it's set up is like he's clearly the focus of it. Like everything else in the back is blurred out. It's all got all the bokeh going on.
And it was only him. Did you notice that too? The other two were fine.
And it was him. And like they skewed him like a tad to one side, but for like no good reason. No, it had no value.
They were never popping in graphics on the left or anything where it could have been like, okay, he's over here because we're going to put an info thing up that he's referencing on this side or anything. It was literally just like, oh, we screwed up and no one ever bothered to check it in post.
Yeah.
Then at the same time, this is more of like a, I don't even know why you did it, but okay, Ubisoft, whatever. They did a one couple second like film pan from his front right, kind of going towards the side of him, but it's clearly not on a gimbal because the camera is shaking by whoever's holding it as it's doing the pivot. And I was like, why'd you even leave the shot in?
Yeah, it was awkward. The whole, like, honestly, the whole thing was awkwardly shot.
Yes.
I mean, the reading was like par for the course as far as like what you get from game developers.
Yeah. Anytime that there's this is an announcement that we're going to say vague shit in and not give you details.
Yeah, that was all, you know, status quo. It's just the shots, the positioning. It was just awkward, uncomfortable. My thing, my hill that I die on is that Ubisoft needs to chillax with the first person shooter, free to play PvP games. We have
Hyperscape.
Hyperscape.
Because I knew you'd forget that one.
Thank you. We have Heartland.
On its way. Yep.
X Defiant
on its way.
There's another one too, I think, isn't there?
I mean, there's two Rainbow Six games on their way.
Yeah, but I guess Extraction's like doesn't really count because that's or not Extraction.
I mean that is Rainbow Six on its way. Yeah,
is it called Extraction?
Whatever it is, there's Plague one.
Yeah, that one, which is kind of more like a Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
And now you have Frontline, and they all like they're all slightly different from each other, but Ubisoft traditionally like all their games feel like very very similar. So it's hard for me to imagine that they're gonna feel wildly different from each other,
especially in these instances. Like yeah. Watching this game, it was almost painful because you're like, I can. There's no reason for this to exist.
No, there really isn't.
Unless you're literally looking for something this team to do. There's no reason for, because they're so similar, there's no reason for all of them to exist.
Yeah, and that was the thing that we had said. Like, literally, you could put all these games, it could be one game, and they all could just be different modes.
Yeah. Literally, you could just call it, at this point, you could call it Tom Clancy.
Yep.
Because X Defiant is in Clancy's universe, Heartland is in Clancy. It obviously goes Recon as Clancy.
Yeah.
So you could have just called it Tom Clancy's Frontline.
Yeah.
And put all of them together.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
But alas.
This pillow is, like, attacking me.
Well, you fucking sat there with it.
I'm just like, I keep sliding down, too, which isn't helping. All right, enough of the Ubisoft hate, I guess.
That being said, looking forward to playing Far Cry 6.
Yeah, same. When I get time. Lucky number 13. Rockstar Games has confirmed that Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas are getting HD remasters. They'll be releasing a package called Grand Theft Auto The Trilogy, The Definitive Edition. The collection is coming to PC via the Rockstar Games Launcher, PlayStation, Xbox, and the Nintendo Switch. It will come to iOS and Android in the first half of 2022, apparently. Pricing and release date info hasn't been shared, but we did see it mentioned somewhere, I can't remember where, that they will release it on consoles this year. Rockstar is removing the originals from digital storefronts on October 11th, and October 22nd would be GTA 3's 20th anniversary. So,
interesting development.
Yeah, and it's been rumored to be have been done for a while. I think it's actually later on in here, but I'm going to bring it up real quick. Okay. I also saw another rumor about this prior to them officially announcing it, that they were remade in Unreal Engine, that they're using Unreal Engine for the remasters.
I'm still curious how much of a remaster they are, that's all.
You know what I mean? I think like, you're right.
Just because you're using Unreal doesn't mean that you've changed enough of your graphical assets.
Rockstar did say that they are staying true to their original representation.
Which, knowing Rockstar, still doesn't tell me anything.
No.
That just might mean, hey, we didn't change any voice lines, even though stuff's offensive.
No, what I think they did, though, is kept the visuals the same and just upscaled them. HD upscaled them.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, I'm probably not going to care.
Yeah, same. They did say, like, gameplay enhancements. I'm like, all right.
Which might just be smoother controls and shit from how janky some of the other stuff was. Like, hey, now that we're in Unreal, stuff is going to be smoother, less snappy and jarry. Like, if you actually turn a car, it won't be, you know, like stutter turning.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. Nice to have finally had that announced. Hopefully it'll... I'm wondering when they're going to pop it out. Probably like November or December. They'll be like, it's coming out.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
What's that?
It's just, it's coming.
it's coming out. All right. Finally, the end.
The end, which is the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. Questionable things that we didn't write paragraphs on. Number one, Xbox boss Phil Spencer has said that the shortage of Xbox Series X and S consoles will likely last well into next year. Aw, man, Phil, who would have thought? Number two, the International 2021. The International, by the way, is the World Championship for Dota. Just to, you know, people that don't know, international 2021 tickets were canceled. The event is still happening, just not with an in-person audience. And apparently, the fake applause is pretty bad.
Yeah. So I heard they have fake applause and it's awkward or something. I don't know.
No, I'm sure. Number three, the Epic Games Store is getting a new achievements system called Epic Achievements. Wow. Inventive. Who would have thought? They're platform-wide and more in line with their competitors' offerings. Because as we know, everybody chases those Steam achievements. Number four, Bungie is removing the Forsaken campaign and the Tangled Shore location from Destiny 2 for Year 5. They join Mars, Io, Titan, Mercury, and the Leviathan, and the majority of their associated content into the Destiny Content Vault. To the vault with you!
Isn't that a ridiculous concept? Like, they're literally removing content from the game and be like, yeah, you can't play that anymore.
You paid for that,
you can't play that anymore.
I get it only because I know what they're trying to manage.
Yeah.
And at some point, the thought is, yeah, we would just put it back. We're going to take that away. We'll do some development and stuff with it on the backside that you guys can't see, and then we'll release you a new, like a new Forsaken stuff specifically. Like, ooh, let's add new stuff to Mars or whatever. But it's like, yeah, it is kind of
feels shiesty.
Number five, Diablo 4's new game director. Without the game even being around yet, is Joe Sheely. I'm going to go with Sheely. A longtime Blizzard veteran who previously worked as a designer on multiple World of Warcraft expansions before becoming a senior game designer on Diablo 3. Number six, TSMC claims some companies in the tech supply chain are stockpiling its chips.
Whoa?
more rumors. The Switch OLED dock supports 4K 60 FPS, even though the Switch does not. And GTA stuff and other things. So, yeah, hey, there it is.
There you have it, folks. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
It's been 7 days. What you been up to?
You know what? Not as much as I would have liked. I'll tell you that much.
I feel you.
Did I play New World last time I was on this show?
You tried. I made fun of you for trying.
I played New World over the week last weekend.
And? I never saw you on. So.
I made it up to level
60.
No. The leveling was pretty quick, surprisingly. I think there's a soft cap.
You'll probably hit like a wall.
I think there's a wall at like the somewhere between like 25 and 30. I think there's a wall.
No, I would have guessed later than that. Okay.
Well, I think there's like multiple, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You're going to hit a wall, get yourself over the hump when you get to the next area, and then you'll go up again. And then, yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Which would make sense because the starter area takes you from like 1 to 25.
Okay, yeah, it makes sense.
I like it, I think. I think I like it. I enjoy the combat so far. It's simple enough but engaging enough. I just wish I had more time to play it. I also played Hot Wheels Unleashed. Great game. I do have some weird complaints about it that are more of just like I don't know if balance is the right way to put it. Just like the difficulty scaling. Easy is too easy. There's easy, medium, hard. Easy is way too easy. Medium, you can win, but if you like fuck up one time, you're screwed. Which,
right.
You have to be like on your game kind of. But it's like fun, like to drive. The tracks are great. It looks amazing. I think it would be like a lot of fun for like a group of friends to play together, like just because like the antics you could have, like in like screwing each other over and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
it'd be really fun. And I think if you were playing with other humans and not the AI, it wouldn't be as like
punishing.
So that's good. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to playing some PGA Tour at some point because that was a free game on PlayStation.
I so badly would love to just... I'd even come down to your house just to watch you play and then just in the background rip you apart.
Yeah.
Just
that's a normal day for us.
And it looks like he's got a 30 yards to the hole. Milo, what do you think? You think he's going to get there? No, I'm not going to throw your ball. God damn it, useless dog. Anyway. Oh, it looks like he overshot that one. Oh, he's in the bunker on the other side. God, he is pissed.
Basically, I just want a Mystery Science Theater you
yeah.
playing golf, but with a golf soft voice the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then you just hear me behind you just...
Ha ha ha.
Nobody's going to hear the golf clap, but I'm golf clapping, just very soft. Oh, well done. Well done. Or I'll do the old, I'll yell mashed potatoes for you on a big drive.
Mashed potatoes!
Such a good clip.
The only other crazy thing is I'm dipping my toes in the keyboard world. I kind of did it ass backwards, though, where... I was like browsing Reddit a couple months ago and like a company on the keyboard subreddit, mechanical keyboard subreddit, was running like a thing where they were like, oh, you know, this keyboard for $25 for like, the order is only
just
for like
$1,600. Just the board, right? You're talking.
It was case, PCB, top plate, like basically everything you needed besides for keys and keycap.
Okay. Came with switches.
Yeah. It's basically a bare bones kit. So you need switches and you need keycaps.
Switches and keycaps.
Yeah. Okay. And they're hot swap sockets. Keys, yeah, so. Okay. So I ordered that and that showed up randomly and I was like, I forgot I bought this. And so.
Oh, hey, look, a project.
I was like, oh, it'd be cool to do like a budget mechanical keyboard thing. So like I started like.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, I rabbit holed and I literally did the exact opposite. I bought. I was like, oh, I'm going to make Holy Pandas because, like, that's, like, you know, one of those, like... Holy
Pandas are... Yeah.
So I ordered Halo Trues, and I ordered Yacht Trash Pandas so I can have Holy Trash Pandas.
I like that you did everything that subreddit threatens.
Yeah.
And, like, warns people not to do.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm going to do a budget one. And anybody seen that $1,000 I had?
Yeah. So I ordered those. So I got, and if you're not a, like, if you don't like dabble into this shit every once in a while, like, you know, people like Nate and I do where we get lost in rabbit holes and become like, you know, learn all this random stupid shit.
I age years in rabbit holes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
These switches require two separate switches and you make a Frankenstein switch out of them. So you're basically throwing money away. Like you,
yeah.
And it's just like you're chasing the dragon situation.
You never catch that dragon.
Yeah, exactly. And then I ordered some keycaps. They were on clearance, but obviously they were still stupid. But so I'm waiting for lube to come in. Really expensive lube.
Of course.
So we'll see. I mean, really expensive as in like
relative.
Like, yeah. You know, it was 5 milliliters and it was like $13. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
It's just, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. What have you been up to?
Just with the kids in the street called the Huge. Sports watching. Game playing.
Good place to be.
Yeah. Play some show. Play some WoW. Play some FIFA. Play some Battlefield. Gonna play some Far Cry this weekend. It's a 3-day weekend. Watching League of Legends Worlds. I got a lot of watching to do and a lot of playing to do, and I don't plan on doing shit all besides those. So
next week you're going to have a lot to report on.
Yeah, or I'm going to be dead.
Oh.
Just exhausted from doing so much of nothing except enjoying myself that I'll have died of euphoria.
All right. Awesome. If you're happy about it, then that's all that matters.
No, I mean, that's really been it. My gym equipment stuff that I wanted came in today.
Nice.
So that's going to get set up tomorrow. So I can actually I'm going to do a workout tomorrow and then one Monday and get back into my routine. Finally got here. I didn't know when it was going to get here, but showed up and I was like, yeah, I'm not putting that together today. Put that together tomorrow because I don't know how long it's going to take me. And I know you're on your way, so.
Through the monkey wrench, proverbial monkey wrench in the plans.
It wouldn't have mattered because I'm going to want to set it up, and I'm going to set it up. I'm going to want to work out on it just to see how it is. So it's like, yeah, it just makes sense to have more time tomorrow to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, then we'll see you guys in 7 days. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.